The Kansas City Chiefs will be at less than full strength week three against the Indianapolis Colts with the suspension of Willie Gay Jr. We're going to get into that, Patrick Mahomes' grade, where we're going from there, and take a look at Chiefs versus Colts today on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. It is another day here in Chiefs Kingdom. Not the greatest day. We're going to get into all the news and what it means for what we will see on the field. We are brought to you today by Prize Picks, the easiest way to get into daily fantasy. You guys need to check them out. You can get a 100% deposit bonus right now and just pick an over-the-top number on their projection, or do you think they're going to fall short? Super easy, super simple at prizepicks.com with our code Locked On. We have a lot to go over. Where is this going, and what's the impact going to be on the field as the Buffalo Bills are playing tonight? They are looming on this schedule as well. There's a lot that goes into this fallout here. We're going to start by thanking you for making us your first listen and grabbing another Locked On show for your second listen, part of the network where we're free for your team every day on every platform, everywhere. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, NFL 33, as well as RGR Football. A lot going on here today.
Yeah, I really don't like having all this to talk about personally, but you know, it is what it is, and we knew that there's going to be some kind of fallout, and lots to talk about. Chris Clark, founder of Chiefs Corner, you find me over there. Talking about Willie Gay, though, you start looking at that situation, he's going to miss four games, and Nate Taylor did tweet something out later saying that he is not appealing, so this is a done deal. He will not be available for the next four games, which is, just real quick, the Colts, the Bucks, the Raiders, and the Bills.
Yes, the Bills are what get me. We'll talk about that matchup later. But just to clarify, Nate tweeted something out, and it has been confirmed that the NFL has said it's not appealable. Not that Willie wouldn't. Have made a final decision. That is something that is either – it's one of two things. Either it's buried in the CBA and that for some reason this isn't an appealable infraction. Maybe it's because the charges were dropped. Like the only thing harmed in the making of this allegation was a vacuum cleaner, as I understand. So I thought this was not going to be a suspendable offense. There must be some kind of clause in there, or possibly he's already appealed it and they have already declined it.
It's technically considered domestic violence from what was reported originally, because it was at his girlfriend's house. So I'm sure that plays into it.
I would think so too.
So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and he's going to be gone for the next 4 weeks. It's really going to hurt Kansas City. I will say this, though, and Matt Derrick pointed this out, and it was one of my first thoughts as well. This makes a lot more sense as to why they brought Jack Cochran up from the practice squad.
Absolutely. You can't take a risk on losing him there. Although, Blake Martinez is a free agent, as I understand. I looked at that really briefly earlier, and I like his game a lot. I think he's somebody that could be added to this roster, although we know that they've had to do a rigmarole of cap space in order to get to where they are now.
Right, and they could bring in a guy like Blake Martinez. They could bring him to the practice squad, and he could be one of those guys and be called up. We'll see. A lot to think about in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot goes into it. What it does mean is that this week against the Indianapolis Colts, who want to run the ball, because quite frankly, they're in big trouble pass protecting against a statuesque Matt Ryan, who I actually expected more from. Now, he was missing his top targets last week in Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce, the rookie who is just can climb a ladder at the drop of a dime. But Matt Ryan, I thought, would play better than this. I thought he'd be pissed off with the whole thing with Atlanta, and I thought he would raise his game. I have not seen that to this point. So
no, and I haven't either. So that's going to be something to watch going into this game. And if they can't throw the ball, that's going to make things very hard on Jonathan Taylor.
And I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll talk about that later coming up. But who should get snaps in Willie's absence? I think this week it should be Chanel, just because of the nature of his ball game. And then as we go on, when you have to cover more, I think it shifts towards Elijah Lee. I don't think Jack Cochran is here to become a guy that's on the field a lot. I think he's a break glass emergency dude. Do you think I'm wrong?
No, I think you're right. I think that he's probably going to be more of the special teams guy that Elijah Lee has been. I think that that's the role they're going to put him in, because I don't think they want Lee doing all the special teams things that he's been doing, considering he's going to have to be somebody that they have to play. Now, the other possibility is they could always trot Darius Harris out there as well.
True, but I really don't feel that Darius is a good replacement for Willie Gay. He's
I agree. But they don't have a good replacement for Willie Gay.
True. Yeah, there is no replacement. Like, the athleticism to the sideline is greatly degraded without Willie Gay out there. That's going to be the target point. Like, I expect them to use Nyheim Hines and try to get running back isolation on the wings near the sidelines that's very difficult for all the Chiefs linebackers to get to in their current stat.
I wonder if they start going to more of a three safety set and they try to do that as more of closer to a base type thing with Willie out for the next couple of weeks.
I completely agree. Now, Brian Cook, you're my guy. You got to chill and just do your job. Can't have any more of those penalty mistakes if you're going to be playing that game, because you are the third safety. And I think Brian Cook will be the guy that's out there.
Yeah. And I went back and I watched. The second penalty is more of a, okay, yeah, it's a penalty, but that kind of sucks because you wouldn't really get that mad about the second penalty. It was the first penalty where he took a shot at somebody. Yeah. I mean, you can't do that. But the second penalty, blocking somebody out of bounds, I mean, okay, yeah, it's a penalty. I guess it's a personal foul, but really, he's on special team.
Yeah, it is what it is. But that's the way that it goes. You never know. So I think we'll get into next what the repercussions are, how Patrick deals with having to make up for that, because it does change the total bottom line. We'll get into that here in a second. But there's one thing that does make it easy, and this will change what you want to do with our friends from Prize Picks, because it is the easiest way to play daily fantasy sports. Patrick's line right now is 290.5 yards. All you got to do is go in and decide, does he hit that? Does he not get to that threshold? It's a simple yes or no, A or B, nice and easy. You do that 2 to 5 times, and you can make 10 times your money on a single entry right now. It's super simple. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections. That's it. You can play any sport. I mean, there's sports that I haven't even heard of, let alone seen in live action. I have played disc golf. Never tried to bet on that. I don't know how you would go about that, but that will be very interesting. You can make these entries in 60 seconds or less. They're safe. They're fast. They are currently available in 30 states plus Canada. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. That's even easier. And play daily fantasy sports. That's what you want to sign up for. First-time users get an 100% instant deposit bonus. That's 100 for 100 or 50 for a 50. You don't have to do anything else but that. Don't forget, you need the promo code locked on when you sign up at prizepicks.com. Now, the absence of Willie Gay puts a little bit more pressure on the defense, obviously. It also puts a little more pressure on the offense because despite having a tight game against the Chargers, and obviously you were in pretty good control against the Cardinals, the goal of this defense is to keep teams under 24 points. You do that, Patrick and the offense should score enough to make sure that every game is a win. Without Willie Gay, that becomes harder. So for Patrick, he's got to be a little bit more efficient. He's got to have less risk-averse plays. Andy Reid had some comments in his presser today, not only about the fact that Mike Frazier does a ton of work for them and gives them packages and does a ton of in-house analytics for them in terms of play call, play flow, et cetera. And Mike Frazier is a great guy. He's been very kind to me in the couple of conversations that I've had with him over the years. But Andy also said that he felt like PFF does a pretty good job with their stats. He didn't say anything about their grades and assuming what that means. But in terms of breaking it down and tracking what the game does, he had some kind words for that. How do you take that in light of the hubbub last week and the way Patrick played against the Chargers?
I think you have to look at it with a grain of salt and realize that Andy is trying to play both sides of the fence. And the reality is, I think even Patrick would admit he did not play well against the Chargers. You can't make those throws. I went back and I finally figured out where Patrick was throwing, and he was trying to throw I think it was to Kelce going across the field on that ball that should have been intercepted. Mm-hmm. But he's throwing it in between three defenders, and he got no height on it. So I don't know if he just didn't have the right set with his feet or what, but that ball was supposed to get another feet or another foot, maybe two, maybe 2.5 feet off the ground to actually get to the target. And he didn't get the height on the ball. So that finally made sense as to where he's throwing, because otherwise nobody else was in the picture. So it was a different view that you saw to actually get that knowledge. But I don't think Mahomes would argue that he played bad in that game against the Chargers. Did he play well enough to win? Obviously he did. But the caveat of that is, did he play well enough to win if Kansas City doesn't get that pick six?
That's the question. And that's why you have to have the support of the defense. Now, putting points up is one thing. Willie Gay has been saying he's going to intercept the ball. He hasn't done that yet. He's not going to have a chance here for the next four games. But somebody's got to, and maybe it's Jalen Watson. How did you feel about him, and what does that do to help Patrick?
Well, I think Jalen Watson played really well, and I think that you continue to watch how he's going to develop. He's going to get a lot more playing time with McDuffie out for another couple of games. We'll have to see how long McDuffie stays on the sidelines with his hamstring injury. So that's something to definitely watch. But you start watching the defense, and I really feel, regardless of who the Colts pass catchers are, I'm not trying to sound cocky, but I feel a lot better going into this matchup than I did at the start of the season, because you've seen what the corners can do. You see that they're mostly in position, and they have to be beat by great throws and by great plays by the wide receivers. And while Michael Pittman is very good, Matt Ryan isn't anywhere near the class of Justin Herbert. So I feel good about that matchup from a passing perspective.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a couple of keys to this game that we'll talk about in the next segment that I think are going to play a pivotal role in that. In the end, I feel like the play call that Patrick was dealing with against the Chargers was very much a package for the Cardinals and the Chargers. And now I feel like they've gotten a couple extra days off. That's good rest for anybody. But particularly for game planning, I think now that they're into a steady rhythm, and Andy did make the comment today that, hey, you know, Thursday night's behind us. We don't have another one this season. They have had some late season Thursday nights in years past. So that seems like that's a breath of fresh air that they can lock down and have a game plan that they can develop every week. I think that means more Sky Moore, and I think it means more opportunity for Juju.
Yeah, and probably more for Fortson as well. I think that they're also going to be looking at a situation where they're now on a mini bye week, and now they're in a situation where they can do a couple more things and get ready for, I think that they're going to be – I don't think they're going to be looking past the Colts, but you have to think that Andy is smart enough to think that what I put on tape now in the next 3 weeks is going to be used against me when I go against the Bills.
Yeah, it absolutely has to. And right now, with the way that the league looks, I mean, when there's 51 guys on a roster that don't defend your Hall of Fame quarterback and your gargantuan wide receiver has to come off the bench to come knock somebody out, your team's in trouble. The Bucs are off kilter. I don't think they're the formidable foe that I thought they were when we did our preseason predictions. I think it really is about getting to the Bills. That's the big point.
Yeah, and let's also take a step back and say you get past the Bucs. I think Kansas City can easily, but I think they can win the next two games. But then they play the Raiders on Monday night, and that's going to be a fun game because it's divisional, but the Raiders haven't looked great either.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they lost against the Cardinals team that they never should have lost to. They were up a whole bunch in the fourth quarter and let them come back and win. And we'll see. Devontae Adams is still Devontae Adams. He's still one of the best wide receivers in the game, so he can wreck a team. But I just don't see how the Raiders are going to be what I thought that they were going to be with the receiving options that they have. Like, I thought with Waller and Adams and Renfrow, that offense was going to be scary. But to only put up as many points as they did against the Cardinals, that's a huge question. And and you're looking at it going against, I think an improved Chiefs defense. I think that a lot of people would say, you know, you look at the points that they have allowed and maybe it doesn't look like they're an improved team. But 14 of those points against the Cardinals were in, you know, mop-up time where they didn't care about letting them score. And that game against the Chargers, you're going against, to be fair, one of the best QBs in the NFL. And I would say, if not top five, very close to top five right now.
Agreed.
And, yeah, he was missing Keenan Allen, but Mike Williams was a beast.
Mike Williams.
Right. Well, and Herbert used Williams as he needed to be used. He did exactly what he needed to do. He put the ball where only Williams could go get it multiple times. And, you know, I've seen it on Twitter said, and I would agree with this sentiment, even though it sucks, you just have to tip your hat to them. They made plays. That's what they're getting paid to do. And you can't defend everything. You can't be, even if you're in a perfect position, because Fenton was in great position multiple times.
Yeah.
Snead, I think, was in great position on that touchdown. They made plays.
That's what you have to do. I mean, that's why it's a competitive series, and you can't necessarily expect that from Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce if he's back.
Right. And you can't expect, and you definitely can't expect that from Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan does not have the ability to put that ball on a rope like Herbert did.
Yeah. Hey, well, every cat can raise their game. I think there's more to that matchup than this. We're going to start talking about that here on the backside of this next message.
Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, whenever you want, from a community of local hosts. It has a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. Test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on or to see how it fits in your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Ditch boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com.
Okay. The quarterback is a problem. I get that. I thought Matt Ryan would be in a better position here. He has a line that I thought would be able to protect him better. And last week in particular was pretty bad. You had some changes there. Danny Pinter's been pretty solid, but had a terrible game at right guard. The left tackle situation, I don't know if Matt Pryor got hurt. I can't determine that. I tried to go look it up. But the rookie Bernard Raimann came in, played pretty well. Didn't give up a pressure. I'm sorry, a sack. Did give up one pressure, a hurry. He's a super athletic left tackle. Obviously, very light on experience. I think that bodes well for not just Frank Clark, but probably for George Karlaftis as well. That's really the matchup that I'm going to be watching for, is do they have to start the rookie? And if they do, I think that gives the Chiefs a serious advantage.
I would say so. And Matt Ryan is not going to be a guy that's going to move around in the pocket near as much as a guy like Herbert or obviously like Kyler Murray a couple of weeks ago. So that's also going to help. And, you know, you look at this Chiefs pass rush and they've been pretty formidable. I mean, Chris Jones had a very good game against the Chargers, and yeah, it kind of happened a lot more in the second half than it did the first, but you know, when you get going, you get going. So I think that that's going to be something to watch going forward, is I think he's going to continue to wreck offenses. And the question is can you find somebody next to him to kind of help him do that? And then you also have to wonder, is Frank Clark actually going to be involved heavily and get a sack?
Yeah. I mean, you have to hope so. I think they've done a good job keeping his workload light. I think they're doing a good job running more NASCAR. I mean, we've only been screaming about that since the day Steve Spagnuolo walked in the door, and now they're finally doing it. I think that's paying off very well. And that pass rush, I think, keeps you in a position where your offense is on the field. And when you look at the other pass rush opposing them, I mean, they managed three total pressures last week against a Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line that is not earth-shattering. So I'm not sure that we can expect that Patrick's going to have the kind of runaround game that he had to have against the Chargers.
No, and that's a good thing, though. I think that you look at what he does best, and he improvises at times best. He's one of the best in the NFL at improvisation when it comes to that position. But I think that the more he can get comfortable in the pocket and do what he really did against the Cardinals, because it really looked like he sat in that pocket and knew he had the ability to sit in that pocket. He wasn't worried about pass rush, and he didn't really get happy feet. He wasn't moving around. He wasn't bobbing up and down. He was going through his reads and doing what he needs to do, stepping into the pocket when he needed to, and he was really feeling the rush very well against the Cardinals. Against the Chargers, it's a little bit different. Obviously, pressure's a little bit different. It got dialed up more. But I think you're absolutely right. I think that you look at the Colts, and the pressure just isn't going to be there near as much as it was this past week. Now, it's going to be a little bit of a caveat, and I know we're not talking about this, but the Bucs are going to give them a little bit more pressure in following week four, but they'll have to be ready for that.
I do want to look at when the Chiefs have to rush the passer, how they're going to get that done. Willie Gay accounted for the best percentage of win in the pass rush last week. And he got two pressures. He didn't get home, but he won 40% of his pass rush snaps, and that was better than anybody else, including Chris Jones, who was at 25%. The other nice thing is that Carlos Dunlap only rushed 9 times, but he got two pressures out of it, another 25% clip, to be honest. They still have to have guys step up. I think it's got to be Mike Dana. I feel encouraged by what he's done so far this season in playing in relief or side by side with Frank Clark. And I think that allows Frank Clark to be better. I mean, all those guys have to step up, but is there one guy in particular that you want to see?
I want to see Karloff just get home multiple times. I think he's got the motor. I just want to see it. You look at the Chargers offensive line. Slater is a very good offensive tackle. So didn't shock me that they kind of kept pressure away from Herbert a lot from that direction. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say it was a revolving door right tackle, but when Herbert got hit, it was usually either from Chris Jones or coming from the right side of the offensive line. So how's that going to play out in this game against the Colts? I think that if they get pass rush pressure, it's going to be Chris Jones again in part. And I think it's going to be probably against maybe that rookie offensive tackle. If they're playing a rookie, how are they going to attack him? I mean, what is Dunlap going to do? I will say this, and I thought it was kind of funny. If you go back and rewatch the play, right after Herbert got hurt, Dunlap comes screaming around the edge and just barely misses getting home. And he did something I've never seen. He did a quick 180 and ran into Herbert with his back.
Mm. Sometimes it happens, I guess.
I think he did it on purpose. Not going to get flagged for hitting a quarterback if you're doing it
backwards,
with your back and not, yeah.
Okay, if you're it that sure coordinated, looked like, credit.
It sure looked like he did it on purpose because he was clearly around the edge and then just all of a sudden spun around because he realized the ball wasn't there anymore.
That's interesting. That's definitely a unique move. I don't think I've seen that. I won't say that that'll be the X factor, but I will say, and we'll talk more about this later in the week, folks, I do think the X factor in this game is going to be Leo Chenal. Because without Willie out there facing a team that has to run the ball, Chanel's got to play. He's got to play well.
And he's got to have his moments where he's just blowing people up.
Exactly. And that's why I think he might be the X factor in the pass rush, because if he's already out there, you can disguise when you're going to send him. They've been blitzing the linebackers more this season. I think this could be a big game for him and an opportunity to get inside. And Ryan Kelly's really good on the interior there for them. They have some other good players, but I do think he's particularly good at rushing from the linebacker spot, and he's going to have the opportunity.
Well, and I think that's intriguing to watch, because if he's able to step in and really have that type of game and have a good game and have a big game against this Colts team, it doesn't really matter who the competition is. I think that's going to be very good things for his confidence going forward, playing that position. And then, you know, you get Willie back in a couple of weeks and you have three young linebackers that are getting after it. We haven't really discussed this. I'm still kind of shocked that he's the starter. I figured Lee was going to get called up and he was going to start, but they've gone with Chenal from day one when it came to starting a regular season game. And obviously they like what they see and they're willing to let him just go out there and make mistakes and try to learn. And that's exactly what he's going to have to do.
Well, I also think he's partially thinking that the Chiefs expected this outcome for Willie Gay, that they knew they were going to lose him, and they knew they were going to have to play Chenal, so they wanted to get him reps in real live action. Yeah. So that makes sense to me.
That makes a lot of sense to me, too.
So we'll see how they come down. We'll have Matt and Derek tomorrow, folks, to give us the inside once the Chiefs are back on the practice field. Then we'll have the crossovers. We get ready for those Colts. Jake Arthur, old friend of both of ours, will be with us. He's now running the Locked On Colts show. You don't want to miss that. He is formerly the BJ Kissel of the Colts, working inside the organization, as I understand. So I don't know that organization well, but kudos to him. And then we will wrap up and we'll get you ready on Friday for this contest that has the chance to get the Chiefs to 3-0, which I had them going 3-1 in the first quarter. If they can get to 3-0, I think undefeated first quarter is well within grasp.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then I still think 5-0 is pretty – I'm not going to say it's a done deal, but I would say that's a pretty good scenario. They could possibly get to 5-0, and then they get to week 6, and it's going to be game on.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one, folks. Thank you for spending your time with us. Make sure you like, sub, and hit the bell on YouTube. Get subscribed on the audio platforms. Give us your comments on what you need to hear about that we're not covering yet, because there's so much material. We always try to cover the bases, but we know that you want to hear some more. So put that in the comments on YouTube as well. Thanks for your time and listening today. We'll be back with you tomorrow.